What's going on, peeps, and welcome to yet another episode of the Untapped North podcast. I am your host, Andrew Stewarts, and I am very excited to bring you today's episode. I hope everyone is well and having a good start to your week. It's a Monday, so let's settle in and dive into today's content, shall we? Our first segment today, slow-starting Canadians. Needless to say, the Montreal Canadiens are off to a less-than-impressive 0-for-3 start to their season. Although their opening night game against the Maple Leafs looked promising and was a close one, they quickly have fallen off the rails and are already looking to hit the panic button. They got beat up by a Buffalo team that's been the center of attention, albeit negative and filled with drama and controversy with the handling of the Jack Eichel situation. Sure, fans might look to put the blame on the team playing back-to-back games and of course not being 100% healthy, but to lose 5-1 to Buffalo?
Bruh.
That's bad. Then they kicked off a 4-game homestand with what looked like a winnable game against the Rangers, until it wasn't. Penalty trouble and the lack of goal-scoring opportunities led the Habs to their third straight loss of the season, and to me, I think the team is already cooked. Their power play looks awful, which isn't surprising because it's looked like crap for the last 3 seasons or more. Suzuki is pointless so far, which considering the contract he just signed with the team, maybe not the best impressions. I don't see the fire in him so far, albeit 3 games is a very small sample size. But on the flip side of that, at least the team can look to Jonathan Drouin for bright spots. After sitting out of the playoffs last season for personal reasons and to find solutions to his struggles with anxiety and other ailments, Drouin has 2 goals in 3 games and looks poised to redeem himself in Montreal. I was ready to kick his ass to the curb and send him off wherever they could for a decent return. But he has impressed so far, and I look forward to seeing how far he can take his game this season. Now, the Habs' next 3 games are against the San Jose Sharks tomorrow night, the Hurricanes on Thursday, and then Detroit on Saturday. It will be very interesting to see how the team responds to their slow start, and considering 2 of their next 3 opponents are beatable, in my opinion, it would be nice to see the team come away with a 2-4 record by the end of next weekend before they embark on their first Western road trip of the year. Jesperi Kotkaniemi will make his return to the Bell Centre when the Hurricanes visit the Canadiens, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Canes started him on the first line to take that initial face-off, and I can almost guarantee you that he's going to score on the Habs. It's going to happen. On a more serious note, though, the Habs are missing Carey Price as he's entered himself into the National Hockey League's Player Assistance Program. It's purely speculation, but over the course of the weekend, I had the chance to chat with a few friends and colleagues of mine, and there's a consensus that there might be an addiction to painkillers ever since the Chris Kreider injury from 2014. I personally think there might also be a little bit of Patrick Waugh syndrome floating around, and that he's not entirely happy with the current situation in Montreal. But Carey Price's wife has also posted a few cryptic Instagram posts that reference mental health struggles and his desire to get healthy, not just for himself, but for the team, but also his family. Shout out to Carey Price for doing what he needs to do to get healthy and back on the ice. Canadians fans and hockey fans around the world are certainly looking forward to your return whenever that time is right. I think this is also a perfect reminder that some things are truly bigger than hockey, and a great reminder that we are all humans first. If you, the listener, know anyone, or you yourself are currently struggling with mental health or other ailments of whatever nature, please reach out to someone that you can talk to and someone that you trust. Whether that's friends, family, or a medical professional, please don't hesitate to speak up and reach out. Now, I have decided to use a soundbite from an earlier episode, and also one that for me is easily one of the greatest soundbites of all time. I've decided to use this clip as the segue and the title of our next segment. Here is...
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
This episode's sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit candidate is none other than the Toronto Marlies. Yesterday afternoon, I had the pleasure of attending the Toronto Marlies game with my friend and former classmate Matt LeCa. This was my first American Hockey League experience, and how fitting that the game played out as it did. It was hilariously bad for the Marlies, who were playing a back-to-back against the Manitoba Moose, a team who they actually beat the day before 5-1. You never would have guessed that, though. All game, Matt and I were wondering who the Marlies could have possibly played on Saturday and beat, considering how bad the team looked yesterday afternoon. And I would say that we were both shocked to see it was the team that is on the ice then dominating the Marlies and making them look worse than an OHL caliber team. That's tough. Shout out to some former Sioux Greyhounds, I guess. Mac Hollowell, good defenseman, but just had a bad night yesterday, to say the least. He spent some time in the penalty box. He was a -2. He looked weak on the puck. He didn't have a lot of great looks, but he also didn't have a lot of great opportunities, considering how poorly the entire team were playing as well. Shout out to Jack Kopaka. Not for good reasons. No, he's a -4 to start the season, and he looks absolutely lost. I want to, however, take the opportunity to wish Robertson all the best and a speedy recovery, though. His injury looked nasty yesterday, and he couldn't put any weight on, I believe it was his right leg, as he was carried off the ice by teammates, and then had to be carried up the ramp, and then down the tunnel by trainers. That's right, up a ramp. Now, I couldn't tell for sure from the angle that I was sitting at, but it looks as though the Marlies have something like a kilometer-long walk down their tunnel, and then they have to navigate through some janky-looking ramp and entranceway to actually get onto the ice or to the bench. It's not an ideal situation to deal with on a regular night, but let alone when an injury like Robertson's happens. So Untapped North is once again wishing him a speedy recovery, and we hope to see him back on the ice soon. So even though the Marlies got the win on Saturday, they obviously didn't get the win yesterday afternoon. And to conclude, I would say that the Marlies, they looked poo-poo-ka yesterday afternoon, to be honest. So, like my friend and last episode's guest Nick Dunham has said, the Maple Leafs aren't known for the depth in their farm system, so this isn't overly surprising. And he's right. For the most part, I guess it's not. Will they continue to be good? Or will they continue to be shit? I guess we'll just have to sit back and watch how their season unfolds. However, but I'm guessing, I think the team is going to be fine for the most part, and will probably be good. Good has a loose definition in this case, but good nonetheless.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Finally, I want to chat about the Sioux Greyhounds, and I want to check in on how their season is playing out so far. The team has played 5 games this season and have 3 wins and 2 losses to get things started. 6 points in 5 games is good enough to have them sitting second in the Western Conference and first in their division. I think their toughest division opponents this year are going to be Flint. They might not have clean drinking water, but they have a good hockey team. And maybe also Sarnia. I think the Sting can cause some problems if the team can catch some heat. The Sioux Greyhounds' top 5 players early on come from their top 2 lines, which is hardly surprising. The play of Cole McKay has been something special, as he's already got 8 points and is a +4 to start the season. With 3 goals and 5 assists, he's been the team's go-to guy early on. McKay and his line mates of Tanner Dickinson and Bryce McConnell-Barker combined for 18 points, 7 goals and 11 assists to be exact. And they're considered the Hounds' second line. Don't get me wrong, the first line of Cartier, Cairns and Cloutier have also been on a roll as of late, with Cartier already posting a hattie this season. But as far as offense goes, it has been all about that second line. Early on, it appears that Samuel Ivanov is the team's starting goalie despite having a 3.55 goals against average and a 2-2 record in his 4 games played. Charlie Schenkel got a win in his first game and only game played this year. He made 22 saves and allowed 2 goals. A cheekily good start, but also an incredibly small sample size. Despite the small sample size, kudos to the rookie kids for getting it done for the Hounds between the pipes. I also want to take this opportunity to mention that I am taking the big L on the whole Joe Carroll praise from last episode. Last week, Hounds fans saw Carroll traded to Peterborough for a handful of draft picks, and Untapped North wishes him well with his time with the Peets. At least now, the color of their jerseys will be more representative of the play of Joe Carroll. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That's right. That's it. That's all for this episode of the Untapped North podcast. So from head to toe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. In case you don't already know, my name is Andrew Stewart, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Until next time, peace.
Have a great time.